Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. The only one of you here that don't look like you changed at all is Brother Doug. I'm just going to go ahead and tell that. He looks the same as he did the day I met him. Yeah, and did you hear me, brother? I said, you're the only one here hadn't changed at all. He turned his hearing aid off. I can't believe he did it. Anyway, as we look in our Bibles tonight in Ephesians chapter 6, I told your pastor, I said, I've got a message that the Lord just gave me about this, and I'm going to preach it here first. If it works, I'm going to preach it somewhere else, okay? Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, so we're going to try to, you're the test run, okay? Usually I'll get them good ones that have been preached everywhere else. I'm going to start here. You right? Anyway, Lord willing, listen, Lord willing, I have heard people tell that all I do is preach on the King James Bible. I figured up some math the other day. It's like figuring up her age. I couldn't hardly do it, but I got out a calculator. And I started preaching in 1994. And if you figure from 1994, then in 95 I started pastoring. Been there 27 years. That's why I'm bald now. Okay? I pulled my hair out dealing with people. And that was just the good people. You figure three times a week preaching at that church for 27 years, I have approximately 22 messages on the King James Bible. I don't think I got a whole lot, is what I'm getting at, on just the King James Bible. But now we got a new one tonight, something the Lord gave me this week I want to share with you tonight. So see, you're not getting just the first one to test that. You're getting something fresh off the press from heaven tonight. I mean, I just wrote it down back there a while ago, brother. Just kidding. But as we look in our Bibles in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And if you've been saved more than a day, you understand that the devil is evil. I hear people say, well, he's that little guy that sits on his shoulder. He's not that guy. He's that girl in the Budweiser commercial. He's that guy. He's that wicked thing. Listen, he's that wicked thing that's been setting up with the green, purple, and blue hair saying, they're talking about my body and my rights and taking it away. That's who the devil is. Yeah. Can I tell you something? You search that Bible cover to cover and you'll find the most wicked, ungodly rulers in the Bible trying to kill babies. Absolutely. Now you know what crowd we're dealing with. Yep. He said in verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When somebody looks at me and says, I don't understand why the government's the way they are, they've always been that way. They've always been that way. When listen, when the devil took Christ up to the pinnacle of the temple and offered him the kingdom of this world, it's because he had them to offer. Nothing's changed. If we ever got our government straightened out, we wouldn't want to go to heaven. And it'll never be straightened out until he puts the government on his shoulders, like the Bible says. That day hadn't got here, and we're not ushering it in. He's going to come take it all back, and he's going to. He says in there in verse 13, wherefore taking you the whole armor of God, he said that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Your pastor just said this, stand therefore. We're here tonight to equip you to be able to stand against all this stuff. And he says there, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. We're going to pause right there for a second, and I'm going to tell you something that you may not have known. Most Christians have one piece of the armor, and I just read it to you. They're saved. Amen. I don't doubt people's salvation as much as I doubt their commitment sometimes. And the fact they're going out to fight a war with nothing in their hands as defense or offense. They're no protection on them. The only thing they got is a helmet. I got to thinking about football players from back in the day. And when I say back in the day, I'm talking about the 70s. I'm just going to get this out there right quick. There was no tougher guy on the field than a guy by the name of Mean Joe Green, that played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, played defensive line. He was so mean that what was that guy's name that played for Chicago in the 60s, Dick Butkus? Butkus was known as the meanest man in football. He was afraid of Mean Joe Green. He said he heard him out there on the sideline one day. He was growling at the guy in front of him right before the snap of the ball. Guy was tough, man. What do you think the guy across the field was wearing, across the line from the exact same uniform, exact same helmet, say regulation? But what if he just had on a helmet? Can you imagine what somebody like Mean Joe would do to a guy that's only wearing a football helmet in a football game? Imagine if the quarterback dropped back to pass, all he had on was a helmet. Didn't have no shoulder pads, didn't have on that nice, cool rib thing that keeps your ribs from getting broke when you're a quarterback. I can't think of the name of the pad, but and of course, there are those thigh pads. Everything. What if that's all the man had on was a helmet? Well, a guy like that about to kill him the first time he'd hit him. There's a guy back home by the name of Tommy Valentine. We did a drill in junior high, and I've never forgot this because he knocked me completely out when we done it. I was in the seventh grade, never played football in my life. They had us both running. They had tossed one of us the football, and the other guy that caught the ball had to wait to be tackled by the other guy. I didn't have to wait. As soon as I got the ball, I was out cold. I never saw it coming. I'd never done that before. And I was fully padded. I thought to myself, when I was looking at this today, I thought, what if I'd only had on a helmet? I'd still be in a wheelchair, wouldn't I? I mean, from 1981 to right now. You don't go out and fight a war with a helmet on. If our soldiers, and God bless our military, if they sent them out there with no gun, no nothing, just here's a helmet, they'd be stupid if they walked out on the battlefield dressed like that. I got my helmet on. I'm in the Army. Where's your gun at, soldier? I see he said, take the helmet of salvation and, after all this other stuff, and the sword of the Spirit. That's what I'm going to preach to you tonight on, is the sword of the Spirit. Not the sword of the flesh, the sword of the Spirit. He says, which is the Word of God. And he tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As we look tonight at the sword of the Spirit, I got three things by introducing this message to you tonight, I want to show you. Number one is this. God's book is an inspired book.
Yeah.
If you go looking in your Bible and you run the word inspiration, you're going to run upon it three times. And you're going to find out that God's book says it is inspired.
Yeah.
I don't need no other authority than that to tell me it's inspired. It says that these scriptures are inspired in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says they're profitable. He tells the preacher to take that book and preach it. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine that you can only get from the pure words of Scripture. If you go back to that word inspiration, you hear people, listen, there's a brilliant man I met in Bible college named Dr. Johnny Taylor. He's the only man I've ever met or even seen or heard about in my life that can quote the Bible in three languages. English, he only knew King James. Now he is 80-something years old when I had him in class in 94. Greek New Testament, could quote every word of it. Hebrew Old Testament, could quote every word of it. Somebody shot their hand up one day and said, Dr. Tiller, said, why did you memorize the Bible? He said, in case they took mine. Now back then, we didn't think that could possibly happen. Now we think it. He said this. Them boys would come in there and they'd try him. Well, what's the NIV say right there? He said, it don't matter because here's what the Greek word says. And he'd parse that thing out. And he said, and by the way, boys, if you don't study Greek and learn that thing, quit quoting it in the pulpit. He said, because the guys you listen to with the definitions are lying to you. This was in a Southern Baptist college, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that out there for anybody listening. He said this. He said, they are not who you think they are. James Strong done Strong's Concordance, great work, except for the definitions in the back. The reason I say that is because him and the guy that done Vine's Expository Dictionary, W.E. Vine, both served on the American Standard Version Committee of 1906. That's why those definitions always match them Bible perversions that don't match your Bible.
Right.
They had an agenda. If you want a concordance now, I don't even advise buying Strong's. But you know what you do now? You can get eSword for free on your phone, and it works about 10,000 times faster than me and Brother Chris when we started out, having to write this down, hunt the next, and write it down, and so forth. Amen. You find out every word in the Scripture where it's located that way, and you go back to the first mention principle and build the definition around context, and you've already got more than that crowd I just mentioned. God giving you that through His Word. We go to the word inspiration, and you find out that God gives the spirit of inspiration, and He's the one put His spirit in every word in the Bible. Get this. You boys understand Greek? Any of y'all? How old are y'all? How old are you, son? All right, let me educate you all the way up to 22 years old, okay? Say this word, pneuma. You already know more Greek than the guy with the sandwich shop downtown. All right, listen to this. That word pneuma is where we get our word inspiration from. Theopneustos, God inspired. But wait for it. That word, if we hear certain people tell it, they'll say, that's the word for wind, where we get a pneumatic drill. Do you realize in Jesus' day they had no such thing as a pneumatic drill? Do you know if you get you a Greek New Testament and you go look up every occurrence of the word pneuma, you're going to run into a problem with that. You're going to find one occurrence of the word wind. That's John chapter 3. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, pneuma. The other 80 occurrences are all going to be translated spirit, as in Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. So when God says theopneustos, that thing's God-inspired, that's God in every word in your Bible. Amen. Not the thoughts, not the ideas, the words. Right. Jesus said it's the words. You go check out what Jesus said about the individual words. He said every one of them. Right. He said to search them things, or they, the words, are they which testify of me. This book's inspired. This book is preserved. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7 is probably the most used verses on dealing with the preserved scriptures. It says they'll be preserved from that day forever. I'm trusting God that forever is on His terms. And when God says it's going to be forever, He'll keep this book around forever. Amen. He's put it together. He brought it about, put it together, got it inspired in the original manuscripts and preserved from this day forward. So what you have is a copy of the inspired Word of God that God preserved for you, and it is perfect. There are no errors in the Bible. It is infallible. It cannot fail. And everything it says about Jesus, it turns around 165 times and says it about the Scripture. Those two can't be broken. So when He said the Scripture can't be broken, it's because it's about Him. Not only is His book inspired and preserved, can I tell you this tonight? His book is attacked. You ever heard of the good old days? What a joke. You know when the good old days was? It wasn't the 1940s. We kind of had a world war going on. It wasn't the 1950s, because all them people came home with all that ungodliness they learned overseas and brought it back over here. But wait, it gets worse. Then the 60s happened. Some of you was born in the 60s. I knew there'd be one admit it. What year? What year? Oh, Lord. It wasn't in June, was it? Okay, good. Anyway, listen to this. If we look in the 70s, it got worse. Then the 80s got worse after that. We seem to be spiraling down the toilet, don't we? There's a reason why. He'll never show up till it completely unwinds. Amen. I believe we're almost at the last thread. What about you? When it says in your Bible, in the last days, and you read what happens, you can go down to Walmart and see it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Every bit of that. I knew when it got to Gaffney, it was everywhere else. We're the last ones to get everything. So I knew when we got it, I thought, man, we in trouble. Yeah. They said there's COVID-19, pandemic, going all over the world. Finally, we got it, so I knew it was all over the world. True story. But listen to this. When we say that book is attacked, it was attacked when the good old days was going on. But when was that? When man and woman were in the garden having all they could eat, not able to gain a pound. That was when the good old days was. When man and woman was there, listen, and there was no devil there every day to disturb the things going on. That was the good old days. And then He showed up. His first sin wasn't drinking that he brought in this world. His first sin wasn't smoking marijuana. And by the way, it's still a sin. I don't care who legalizes it. His first sin, it wasn't adultery. It wasn't fornication. It was lying about the Bible. Eve said, well, we got the Bible. He said, yea, hath God said. And everybody that follows him has been saying that for 6,000 years of recorded human history. Yea, hath God. Do you know that God actually said that? You go to your trusted Bible colleges and you walk in there and you think you got a Bible walking in. They spend the next 4 years trying to get it out of your hands. Yeah. I graduated college 4 times. They can't have it. Amen. I'll tell you why. God showed me this is his book. I don't trust anybody else now. Your pastor believes just like I do. We've talked about this before, that it's a strange thing that we send our preacher boys off to Bible college and they come back reprobates. How did that happen? Somebody they trusted and loved and looked up to told them a lie. How did they get like that? Somebody they trusted and loved that they looked up to told them a lie. And it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Yea, hath God said. The yea, hath God said society is alive and well in Kayser, North Carolina. But how do you know? When I first came here, I didn't know where this was at. But since I've been here for the last 20 years, 25 years, I've noticed something. I've started meeting people. I'll meet people down in Shelby that pastor up here. And y'all got a unique church, by the way. Are you understanding this?
Amen.
Yeah, Brother Kid. Is that Brother Kevin back there? Where's he at? Okay. Listen to this. I understand, from what I understand, talking to these people, they don't believe the Bible. I won't tell you no names, but I will say this. The ones I remember looked at their faces, I asked everyone, why don't you resign? They said, why would I do that? I said, because you're a joke. You are a joke. If you stand up here to preach this Bible and you don't believe this Bible, please quit. Please stop immediately. And listen, it gets worse the farther west you go. And then finally you go out to the state of California. We've got a lady in our church that come out from California here. Bought a house sight unseen to get away from that garbage. I don't blame them. I'd leave too. And by the way, with all their little cute little lockdowns, they had 106% COVID spike this week. Oh, I thought Joe Biden said that was done. You can't trust a politician any year, but election year, they're going to double down on the lies.
Yeah, that's right.
The mayor ain't here tonight. I invited him. Is he here tonight, brother? He's not here. The mayor of Kayser, that is. I ain't worried about Shelby. But listen to me. That book's been attacked over and over and over and over. And sometimes from the very source that's supposed to be telling us the truth about it, it gets attacked. A better rendering here would be, no, there's no better rendering. God said it, it's good just like it is. When people tell me I have to read another Bible because I don't understand this one, I found a verse of scripture I want to share with you tonight. It's amazing what God's book says. This book tells us that this book's not about understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I've always heard that was heaven, what it's talking about, but then I learned something called context. That means you look at everything around it. Listen to this. Very next verse. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even do the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You go hunting that word inspiration down, it shows up with the spirit of man over in Old Testament first. That's where you start knowing this stuff. It's not outside in, it's inside out. And guess who you got to have in here so you'll understand that? Next verse. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual man or spiritual things with spiritual. So God shows us it's got to be by his Spirit. He's got to show it to us, and we learn it from here to here, not from here to here. If I read it and don't understand it, guess what? That means nothing. There's a lot I don't understand. You want to hear something deep tonight? Brother, you want to hear something deep? People say, well, I don't see how God put a book together and kept that thing. I don't see how he holds the planet together. That seems like a harder thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, by Christ all things consist. We're talking about water, fire, and dirt right here.
Yeah.
And it don't just...
Yeah.
That's a greater miracle than me than keeping the book together.
Yeah.
In fact, this seems pretty easy when you consider who God is. And I look at this stuff and I say, well, I got the sword of the Spirit. And he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually, with a little s, discerned. God's got to teach you inside before he teaches you upside. God shows you this book. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 17. Jesus Christ makes a statement. Boy, Matthew chapter 16, excuse me, says something. For 20-something years, I didn't know what this was. He said, there shall be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the coming of the Son of Man in his glory. Well, I figured something out. All them guys died and the rapture ain't happened. So how can that be true? I wrestled with that 20-something years. I'd preach on it, I'd act like I knew what I was talking about. I had no clue. I preached through the book of Matthew, finally. Got that part, and I said, Lord, I've been patient. I've been saved 25 years. You've never even bothered to shed any light on this. And then he'd done something to me that I hear a lot. He said, hey, dummy. Yes, sir. He said, look in the next chapter. He stands up on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's his glory, and there's some three of them standing there. Didn't taste of death by the time he saw his glory. How simple is that? Y'all probably knew that, right? I didn't. Are you getting what I'm saying here? God has to show you things. And the smarter you think you are, the dumber he'll make you look when you by yourself and nobody's around. So he'd say, hey, dummy. That's God's pet name for me, I think. But I've learned something. When he shows it to me, it's right. God showed me something last week. I laughed so much when I saw this. He's on the cross dying. The earth goes dark for how many hours? Say three. Okay. All right, listen to this. I read where a man said that was a solar eclipse. And I kind of thought, nah, and I just went on. And finally, I got up and I was looking at the Passover about something. Do you know when the Passover's held? It's always when there's a full moon. Did you know that you can have a full moon and an eclipse on the same day? Now, you're going to go home and think about this. And you're going to run your brain ragged. Remember, sun, moon, earth. You got to have them things in that order to get an eclipse. But if you got a full moon, that means you got sun, earth, moon, and it's on this side, and it can't be eclipse. I told that thing, and a young boy came, and he looked at that, and he said, how is that? I said, just go home and think about it. Bless your heart. Right? Some of y'all thinking right now, listen, don't let that thing worry you too much. Just let God show you this stuff. And when somebody says, well, I've got science. You know who usually says that? People with a 10th grade education that's dropped out of high school. Living in sin, saying, well, I believe in science.
Yeah.
Don't raise your hands tonight, but if you think science is better than the Bible, I got a question for you. I think because you said that, you're probably smarter than you think. In fact, I think you know half of everything there is to know. And before you reach over and do this, which you're wanting to, I want to remind you that God's in that half you don't know. God's book's in that half you don't know. And listen, none of us have arrived. But when we look towards the Scripture and we see that the natural man don't get it, we don't need to rely on natural interpretation. We need to rely on spiritual interpretation. And not this business God told me. No. What'd God say? That's spiritual. I've had people tell me God told them all kind of things. I don't believe half of them because they don't line up with the book. I need to see what God said before you say God told you. Since y'all in the mountains, y'all appreciate this. There's a guy up there in Hendersonville, one of them mountains up there, with this old holiness church up there on a Sunday night, and he got to shouting and going on, and the church was like ours where it was long ways to the parking lot. He walked in there, and they got to hooping and hollering and carrying on, and he jumped up in his seat and said, God told me to jump out the window. And he went over to that side of the church that he didn't come in and flipped that window open, saw that 50-foot drop, and said, God said the other window. You see what I'm saying? people tell all kind of crazy stuff that God didn't do, and they're accusing God of their sin, what I'm thinking. But tonight, as we look at the sword of the Spirit, I want to show you, I think you used to go here, but anyway, I want to show you tonight the attacks on the Bible. You can know somebody by their enemies. You remember back in the day when Mike Tyson was the baddest man on the planet? That guy on the airplane found out he still was. He still has enemies. That lets me know something about him. Here recently, I heard a fella tell me, they said, well, I don't have no enemies, and I've been in the ministry 50 years. I said, you've not been in the ministry, friend. I know one right off the bat you got. I just read you about him a while ago, about Satan there, about yeah, God said, that's your enemy. That's one you got. And the other ones is so hard to figure out sometimes you don't think your friends are your enemies. But I want to give you three attacks tonight that'll help you. And listen, they're not just attacking the Bible. They're attacking your Savior in those modern Bibles. Number one attack, the number one attack out of all of them is on his birth. If you hear of a young woman getting pregnant in your day and age, that is so common now that we accepted this fact and don't even know what happened. But listen to this. In the day in which Jesus was born, it was the same way. In a Jewish type setting that Joseph and Mary was in, if the woman was found out pregnant before they got married, he divorced her and ain't even gotten married to her yet. It's such a shame to do that. Her family was shamed for not watching out for her better. He was shamed for not having discernment enough to figure it out. I mean, it's a very awkward thing. When Joseph found out his wife was pregnant before they ever spent the first night together, you could understand his doubt in things. You can understand why God had to appear to him in a dream and tell him, you need to do this, I did that. And that she's still a virgin. But if you go to the modern Bibles, you'll find out that in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says there, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. If you go to the Revised Standard Version that was released in 1952, it says, behold, a young woman shall conceive. No miracle, no virgin birth. Attacking Jesus on his birth right there in a so-called Bible. You say, I've never heard of that one. I have a copy of it because my wife's grandmother never threw anything away. And in 1952, one of those reprobates that pastored one of those churches down there went to the local ministerial assassination, and they got everybody together to buy everybody inside the city limits a hardback copy of that. I got Grandma Wiley's. So when I got it in my hands, the first I'd heard about this, I went reading through it, and I thought, they have just said Jesus wasn't born of a virgin right there. Can you believe that attack your Savior's virgin birth in a book that's supposed to be about him from cover to cover, every chapter and every word supposed to be inspired?
Yeah.
They lied.
Yep.
They lied. Another place, if you look over in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1, you'll find some more here. I'm going to show you these. This is attacking the attack on his birth. I couldn't believe they would attack his birth. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, this one is they're telling her she's going to have a child. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You'd have to agree to me tonight, being without being vulgar, that I know not a man meant she was a virgin. The Revised Standard Version of 1952, good old days, she says, I have no husband, indicating she wasn't a virgin. You mean to tell me they think that's better than what you just read? They're attacking his birth. There's a reason why they're attacking his birth. If they can make him born of man and woman, that means he's not the Savior God sent, and he's not perfect. When Adam was born into this world, when he fell into sin, everybody since then's fell into sin. That's why he had to be born of our Heavenly Father. Can I let you in on a secret? You have an earthly father, and if you're saved, you have an earthly father and a heavenly father. Jesus never had an earthly father. Isn't that something? You agree with that, right? Look over at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. Your Bible says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which are spoken of him." Who did it say marveled? Joseph and his mother. You say, you've been picking on the Bible's been out of print for a number of years. I'm glad the devil told you that, because I'm fixing to knock one out of the park right here. You ready for this, brother? Joseph and his mother. That's not an earthly father. That's Mary's husband, not Jesus' father, earthly or otherwise. How about they change that one to, listen, in the other Bibles, it'll read something like this, if I remember how it quotes it, "and his father and his mother," with a little F. Again, Jesus did not have an earthly father. So is that revised version you keep picking on? No, that was the NIV of 1972, 1978, and 2011. The Holman Christian Bible of the 1990s and 2010. That's the one the Southern Baptists spent $10 million on. If I was a Southern Baptist, I'd ask for my money back.
Yep.
I'd go to whoever paid for that and say, "We want that money back." That's wrong. And the Bible of the Calvinist of 2012, the English Standard Version, all dropped Joseph in favor of the word father. And the meanwhile, they'll tell you, well, the NIV does that because it's not a word for word, it's a thought for thought. But them other two claim they're word for word.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're attacking your Savior's birth.
Yeah,
they're attacking him personally.
Right.
And you'll buy that garbage and think it's okay. Why would you do that? I hope you were misled when you done that,
yeah,
not doing it on purpose, so you could attack Jesus with the devil's help there. See, listen, I'm not coming from the background of King James only. I started out on the other side of the thing. The only problem was, Brother Dean, I read the Bible they gave me. I might have been on drugs when I got saved. Boy, when I got off drugs, I cleared right up. And every day I read that book for 3 months. I marked down all 17 verses as missing. Every one of them, marked them all down. Went to my pastor and asked him what was going on. You know, he said, get out of my office, you church splitter. I didn't even know how to split a church. I don't even know now. But I do know this. I knew I needed to go find out why he called me them names and why he is so against that King James Bible.
Yeah, man.
Now listen to me. When they attacked my Savior's birth, I take that personal.
Yeah.
It's a personal matter because it's personal to the heart of God. And by the way, he has enemies, and whoever's his enemies are my enemies, because we play on the same team with him as the owner and the coach and the starting quarterback. Amen.
Yeah.
I look at that thing and I see that thing about the attack on his birth. I see another attack. Look over at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, there's another attack over here. It's worse than the first because it keeps building on this thing. So your Savior had to be born of unique blood. If he had the blood of man, we're all in trouble and we're on our way to hell. If he died as a virgin-born Son of God, lived a sinless life, he shed precious blood on that cross. And because we trust in him, we can have something that Colossians 1:14 says we have. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom, talking about Jesus Christ, it says we have something here. What's that thing called? Redemption. Paid directly to the throne room of God, paid in full. So, listen to this. You know why the curtain was rent from top to bottom? Because God was tearing up your bill. Amen. The bill had been paid, the payment was accepted, and it can be applied. What payment? The next three words. Through his blood. Say, what is that talking about? That's talking about that precious blood that was cut out of the text completely. Some with not even a footnote to tell you it's not in the oldest and best manuscripts. And they'll never tell you what those are if you ask them. But I'll tell you. One come out of a trash can and then they disagree with each other in 3,000 places. One thing they both agree on is that the words through his blood need to be taken out of your text. He's so precise that the word blood's there 446 times because there's one sin God won't forgive. Y'all, it's not chewing tobacco, so y'all calm down. I know you was worried about that one. It's the sin where you reject Jesus in unbelief and don't believe he's the Messiah. Now you know why they attack him personally, why they attack his birth, and why they attack his blood. Because if the devil can get you not to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the one sin that'll put you in hell.
Oh, yeah.
All the rest of them are just symptoms of the one. A man that's born lost will do any sin on this planet. Any sin. Now get this one. If you get saved, your body's still lost.
Yep.
But here's the good part. One day you're going to lay this old thing down. It's going to dissolve in the grave, and a worm's going to come down and eat every bit of it. He's going to find his way to the surface, and old chicken's going to get a hold of him and eat him. Then somebody's going to find that chicken and wring his neck and eat him. But wait. When the rapture happens, God's going to pull all that back together, and you're going to be you with a glorified body, and this corruption's going to put on incorruption. And listen, it's all going to be because of the precious blood of Jesus. If you ever wonder why there's such an attack on it, why they take it out of the hymn book too. They don't want to listen. They don't want you to hear the word sinner, because that indicates you to be redeemed from something, that you're lost and you're undone without God. And they'll come up and say, well, it's in other places. I had somebody call me one time from one of them abortion places that was against abortion. They said, why is that? I said, I just got a false Bible version. I don't put that in my book. I never have and never will. They said, what's wrong with it? And I told them, it takes the word blood out over 40 times. One of them takes it out over 200 times. Colossians 1:14, you got a consistency there. You've got the New American Standard, the Christian Standard Bible, the Holman Christian Standard, New American Standard. You got every one of them, English Standard Version, all of them taking out blood. She said, this is what she said, but it's in other places. I said, well, I am so glad you told me. I was so worried about that. She said, you're being sarcastic, aren't you? I said, you pick up on things. I said, can I tell you something that'll help you the rest of your life? She said, what's that? I said, I like Hardee's biscuits and I like Bojangles biscuits. Y'all like them, either one of them? I prefer Bojangles, but if you're buying, I don't care. Okay? My preferences go out the window when somebody buys. But listen to me. Does anybody here live in the country?
Where you at, man?
I'm just checking. You never know when you got visitors, and I don't know all the faces yet. Y'all got a septic tank, right? After 20 rough years in the city, we moved back to the country. We finally got us a septic tank again. I know how that thing works. I just don't flush everything now. I told that lady, I said, ma'am, I said, I can find a Hardee's or Bojangles biscuit in a septic tank. It'll be in there somewhere. But if I have to pick, I'm picking the restaurant over the septic tank. I said, that's what I think about your Bible version. She said, do you think it's that bad? I said, if it takes that blood one time, it's that bad. One time, much less 20, much less 200. They're making light. They're attacking his blood. You know why I get so tore up about that? That's what got me in.
Yeah, man.
It was on a Thursday. Somebody touched me. How'd he do it? Through the blood. Yeah, I was too evil to handle otherwise. And you know what he did? Saved me. You know what I've been ever since? Saved.
Right.
You know what I'm going to be tomorrow? Saved. You know what I'm going to be 1,000 years from now? Saved.
Yeah, yeah.
God did that through the blood. Yeah. My blood didn't count. His did. They attacked his body. They attacked his birth. They attacked his blood. And they attack his body. I mentioned Mike Tyson a while ago, and some of you lit up real good. Did you know that where the most effective punches in boxing are when you're in a boxing match? Body punches. Everybody wants to punch somebody in the face because, you know, black that eye. I've watched guys, their eyes swelled up, come back and knock a guy out. You've heard of him too, Evander Holyfield. Body punching, right in the ribs. Bam, bam, one after the other. Hit him in the chest every once in a while. Hit him in the ribs. You know what happens if a man gets punched enough right there? He won't be able to breathe. He can't breathe. Guess what he can't do? He can't stand up. He can't stand up. He gets counted out. Everybody goes for the glamorous. Let's hit them with the body punches. That's what the devil's attacking your Savior with.
Right.
He's attacking him all the time with it. Here's where it goes to. They attack his resurrection. Look over in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, down at verse 3. Right at the start of the book of Acts, they attack his resurrection. Here's what your Bible says. In Acts chapter 1, infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Do you see that word infallible? That means, literally, that thing can't be challenged. The man was empty that Sunday morning. Infallible proof. About a few hours later, they all holed up in a place scared to death, and he shows up without the door opening. Many infallible proofs. One guy laid out on Sunday night. The next time he said, if I could just touch his hands or thrust my hand inside, you know, it's Mother's Day. Listen to this. Many infallible proofs. To heaven, 1,500. Many infallible proofs. Now listen to me. They take the word infallible, either they change it to something that don't mean infallible, or they just drop it altogether. Isn't that something? They take infallible out and they attack his resurrection. Do you know why they attack his resurrection? Because if he got up from the grave, he is the Messiah. If he didn't, he is not. They try to attack that thing. They attack his royalty. Look back in John chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 35. They attack in his body. They attack his resurrection. They attack his royalty about his body. In John chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they cast him out. Or that they'd cast him out, talking about this man, said, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? You'll never guess what word they take out of that one and change. All the modern versions say, Son of Man. So wait a minute, now Jesus called himself that, yeah, in the book of Luke. But when you get over here, you talking about manuscript evidence. That word theos is in 99% of the manuscripts. That's God, Son of God. Rack it all they want to. But if he's God, they're in a lot of trouble. And they attack him and they attack his royalty. They don't want a king running them. Here's the modern cry of the American. You ain't telling us what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you men, you'll come to me privately and say, my wife's told me you ain't telling me what to do. She won't submit. But yet you won't submit to God. And here's a better one. If you go back and read that thing again, it's submitting to each other. Hello? You under her authority, she's under yours, but God lets you lead it. You know why? He always lets the dummies lead. You know why? He wants to lead them so they won't look like such dummies. Am I telling the truth, brother? My wife, bless her heart. She had to finish raising me when we got married, okay? So you think she's funny? She's put up with a lot. Believed he was the king. Always. You know why? I read about it. Son of God. In Luke, when he refers himself to Son of Man, you got to see what all four Gospels are written to. Matthew to the Jew, Mark to the servant, Luke to the Gentile, and John to show he's his deity. He's God manifest in the flesh. Now get this. All that being said, we're talking about them attacking. Look over there. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've got a section here showing you the qualification of a pastor, qualification of a deacon. Behavior is required. So what kind of behavior? The behavior God accepts. So what kind? Lord, all you want to, but you don't get to cuss the preacher and the deacons out. You don't get to jump up and tell the Sunday school teacher he's an idiot. He might know something you don't. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Didn't we just say that? Guess what word they take out of that and change? They take God out. They kick God out of the book. They say he was manifest. Who? We don't know. We drop a proper noun in favor of a pronoun and then don't tell who that thing is. For one bestseller. And by the way, I know this will shock you, but Jill Biden released her autobiography that she wrote this week. Says it on a New York Times bestseller list. I don't think 250 copies will get you there. And I bet she bought them all for her family. This book, right? Well, if it was friends, it'd only been three sold, brother. That's Pelosi, Clinton, and, well, I can get it all. Anyway, I look at this thing about taking God out of the text here, and I say they're attacking God. They're taking him out of his number one. There's no book been printed more than this book you got in front of you. This one. Not a Bible, this Bible. Everybody's worried about, well, there ain't no little boy. Then why are you bringing something up like that to test the truth with? You don't trust the truth with fiction. And besides all that, I bet we know 100 missionaries down there go to that little boy if he was a real boy and win him to Jesus. Well, what about them Chinese people? Did you know that 4 out of 5 people in China speak and write English? Do you know they have 1 billion people in China? That means there's more English people speaking people in China than there are the rest of the world combined. No wonder they're selling us so much stuff and pulling stuff on us. They know the language.
Yeah.
How many of y'all have got an offer this week from a barrister that has $27 million wanting you to email him back your bank account numbers? He'll put it in your bank account. What, you ain't had no offers this week? You've had them before, though, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Some of his face is red because you accepted the offer and sent the bank account. Now you ain't got nothing. You find out that wasn't a real lawyer and they wasn't no money.
Yeah.
Don't let the greed get the better of you. There's good con artists out there. And some of them, the best ones out there are these people that has convinced that we need to take God out of this text right here. Crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
It gets worse, though. Look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's such an attack on this next thing that I can't believe that we're having to even talk about it. His body is what you're made up of, which is the church of the living God. When Jesus Christ showed up on Damascus Road and a guy named Saul was having Christians hauled off and killed, he didn't say, "You're attacking my church." Who did he say that he was attacking? He said, "Why are you attacking me?" You know what it is? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God's a debtor to no man over any bill. In fact, his credit's so good, he bought and paid for us. And he got us on credit because the crucifixion didn't happen 4,000 years into human history. He bought us on credit. How about that? That's how good God's credit is. But listen to me. And the rapture's not going to happen until the middle of the tribulation. I got news for every one of them guys, and you tell them I said, if they don't go at the start, they better not even pack their bags. They're not going at all. There's 6 on your forehead or hand. You've ever wondered why they sprung up so fast? Used to get a tattoo, you had to go overseas in the 1940s over to some heathen nation, get them. Now you can go down the street and get one. The devil's making sure you have quick access to get his number. And it ain't a computer chip, it's a number. So how are they going to know it's mine then? Have you heard of DNA? Do you know what that is? They'll know instantly. They won't have to have a chip. They've got everything set up right now. And listen, we're on the fringe of seeing this happening. They're attacking his rapture, where he raptures his body off this planet. You think it's bad now? Wait till the Holy Spirit's pulled completely off this earth. Wait till you and I are gone, and this place is going to be flooded with evil like it never has been before. You think these gay pride marches are bad? How about when the pedophile march starts? That's coming next. We've been preaching for 25 years. I know of warning people, that's South Carolina, wanting to make that thing legal. But who would do that? Pedophiles would, and people that support them. Disgusting. Guess what? That thing about Jesus beholding the face of children, they are in trouble with him. That's why they attack his rapture, his personal body, because they don't want to see that happen. You see how they mess people up right here in verse 14. After telling them in verse 13, they wouldn't have to be ignorant. Ignorance is just somebody that don't know. He says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, it says that even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see that thing there? Now, if he's going to bring them at sleep, where are they at? They're somewhere. Where are they at? They're dead. So where they're at? They're in heaven. Their body's in the grave, their soul's in heaven. Simple stuff. But word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not, circle this word, prevent them which are asleep. Proceed. Remember Mean Joe Green I was telling you about? You know what the guy in front of him's job was to do? Very big difference. So why would somebody change that? So they could move the timeline of the rapture to a different place. So who God said? So who told them? I don't know who told them, but I know who started it. Went back to Genesis chapter 3. Are you sure God said that? This, you attack the body, you've attacked him. Church, are you really? Are you really? Then why don't you want to hang around with us? Well, I got hurt in church. Did you get hurt in this church? Did one of these guys do it to you? The answer above all, that's no. Now listen to me. I have heard that till I'm up here with it. Do you know how the last time I got hurt in church was? This morning. I showed them. I didn't show up back tonight, though. In all seriousness, I keep coming back. I don't go there for them. Never have. When I got saved, I started going for the Lord. I enjoy his company.
Yeah.
And I enjoy most of you. Some of you just a little too quiet for me. I don't know where you stand on things, if you like me or not. But if you don't like my preaching, I got news. I don't like how you listen, so we're even. So now we put up with each other, we go on to the next thing. I'm telling you, they attack him, they're not my friend. They attack him, I'm not reading their books. I'm not going to bother with them. They're junk. And if they attack any doctrine that's found in Scripture or any word, they're playing for the other team. Now let me tell you something. There's a big sweep on things to say, well, the Greek says. The Greek says. There's two words I want you to understand tonight. I taught this young man one earlier. I'm going to teach the rest of you two words. Oenos and oxos. Those are two different words. They're spelled different. So therefore, they probably mean two different things. So what's the difference then? Look over at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, there's two things over here that's used, and I'm going to show you both of them. And then we're going to compare Scripture with Scripture. Oenos in your Bible, when they translate that every time, it's wine. You know, wine. The not grape juice, wine. Verse 23, they're crucifying our Lord in Mark chapter 15, and they gave him to drink wine, oenos, mixed with myrrh, but he received it not. Is that what your Bible says? You know why he received it not? Jesus don't drink. Say, but what about John chapter 2? He didn't drink there either. And that wine wasn't fermented wine. So how do you know that? Because he took a gallon, 100 gallons of water and made it instantly. And if you make wine like that, I'll drink every drop. You can fill the Baptist cup. If anybody can make that thing wine in an instant, I'll drink it, no problem, because it won't be fermented. It's new wine. But wait, there's more. That word oxos, you know where it shows up at? Look down in verse number, let me find it here. They come down here at the end of it, verse number 36. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come down and take him down. He didn't drink that one either. He didn't drink the oinos or the oxos. In Matthew chapter 27, the parallel verses to these, they take the word oinos and replace oxos with it, where the vinegars change to, quote, wine and sour wine, and try to make it out like they gave him to it and he drank that. They make Jesus a wine bibber right there in the very pages of those false Bibles. So who would do that? The New King James, the English Standard Version, the Christian Standard Version, the Holman Christian Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, the New International Version. You want me to keep going? The New Living Translation, the Living Bible, all of them. Why? They've already been attacking him this much. They want to make him out to be a sinner as well as a reprobate like them. There was an ad put in the Gaffney Ledger. I clipped it out and I lost it. Moved. I'll never forget this. Remember that picture where Jesus is like this and he's looking up and there's a light shining. He's praying at that rock. The ad said this. You don't have all the answers. It's okay. Neither did he. Come worship with us. They named the church off. I haven't even stepped in there for a funeral. I'm afraid he might come collect while I'm there. I don't want to be there when he collects on them. I don't go fishing with everybody. They backslid. God might want to collect right then. I'll be in the boat with them, right? Listen, here's the thing to consider. They're attacking that based on manuscript evidence. I went and looked this up. You know how many times that word oinos, how many manuscripts has that? 7. You know how many has the other word? 18. In other words, they went against it right there, but they're telling you they did that. And I thought, this crowd's too clever for this. Why's the real reason they done that? Well, they went back to Psalm 69 and changed it back there from vinegar to wine so they could have an alibi for their sin. This is the crowd you're dealing with that's attacking your Bible. Why are they doing that? They play for the other team. They're not your friend. You know what I hate worse than anything in this world? I mean, I absolutely hate it. And you can hate some things. And I believe you can hate what I'm fixing to mention and be right with God and do it. This is for you. I hate snakes. Ungodly critters. The devil was one when he showed up. I hate we had rats this big and a snake had stretched from here to that organ. I'm glad I'm back down to mice and little old bitty garden snakes. Come out there with a shovel after that thing. My dog was going crazy. Lisa, don't kill it. It's a sudden... No, he's dead. He dies. If it ain't on a pair of boots, I don't want it. I don't want it in my yard. I don't care what you say it kills. I can kill it too. But listen to me. You can take and you can find out one thing about a snake that'll really unhinge you. You know what it is? You see these baseboards around this church? You know that sucker can unfold his body and go straight up in there and be laying in one of them things right now. If I'm ever in your church and I'm kicking them things, I'm just checking. I was with a man who was in a church. He's buying a church building, been empty for a few months. He says, "Hey, you like it so good?" I said, I pulled out my pistol. I said, I'll like it better here in a minute. He said, "What are you fixing to do?" I said, "I'm fixing to shoot that snake coming out that wall right there." There ain't no snakes in here. By the time he got out, he was about 8 foot long. He's begging me not to shoot up his church building. I said, "Then open that door. I'm leaving." I don't listen. I ain't handling no snakes. That day's over with. They didn't do that but one time. Paul did it in Acts, and that was enough for me. Done with them. But I found out about a snake. My grandma told me this story, so I know it's true, right? Your grandma tells you it's true, right? They had an old house, and they finally put electricity in it. They had two lights in that house, and they had a little attic up in there. And they'd flip that light on, and it wasn't an LED light. It was one of them old ones that heated up. And they'd hear something in that attic go over that thing. And her daddy heard that thing, and he looked up there. Next thing you know, he cut that light off, walked another room where they only had the other light, and clicked that thing on, and he heard something in that attic go towards it. He said, he told his wife to get the youngins out of here. Next thing that you know what they heard? A boom! His wife rushed back in there and said, "What happened?" He said, "I had to shoot that thing." He said, "We'll have to call that guy, put the light in, and come back out, but I got him." He said, "I'll fix the roof tomorrow." Hope it didn't rain that night. Them snakes will cuddle right up to where heat is. And what they do is they come in a place like you felt the Spirit of God in that singing tonight. They'll come cuddle up right next to you with that stuff. They want to get to where the heat is because they want to be there because they know that's where the food is. They'll feast on you. They're snakes. They're cold-blooded. They have no empathy towards the things of God, no sympathy towards the people. I mean, after all, y'all don't have sympathy to cows up here, do you? Oh, of course not. We're going to, I told Lisa over here, there's some steaks. There's some steaks all the way up here. You don't have sympathy for that thing. You're going to eat it. That's what they're going to do to you if you ain't careful. If they'll attack God, you're small fry. Now, Lord willing, next time we get back into this, I'm going to show you a little bit more, but I've tried to come to you tonight to show you why this is going on. It's not you they're after. It's your Savior. Brother Chris, you come.
Praise the Lord.